Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode number 158. I am joined by the vice president of Wittrick, a company that helps businesses develop, prototype, manufacture, and ship their products profitably from Mexico. Omar Dar, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
Well, I find like my default wants to say Omer. Is that like Omer. Correct? Omer, okay.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Not an easy name to pronounce because they're very similar names that are much more popular.
Absolutely. Omer, you've been a serial entrepreneur now for 20 plus years. So I would say that you've picked up a thing or two over the last two decades. I was admiring your LinkedIn. I just sent you like a LinkedIn request right before this, but I noticed it was like biotech, experiential marketing. And today we're really going to focus on like manufacturing and logistics in Mexico. I'm super impressed with like how like the breadth of knowledge that you have. I saw MBA. I saw like all kind of amazing stuff like studying across the world. What's your biggest passion project right now? Like, what's the thing that if you crush this one thing, 2022 would be a success?
Well, I look at life as the process. I don't think that the end goal is what's important. I think it's the journey. And for me, living in many different places, living in four continents, studying all over the world, experiencing different culture. This is what I enjoy. And I think that if you ask me what is the goals, I have, of course, business goals, family goals, personal goals. But what defines me is really I enjoy the process. And I enjoy doing stuff that others are a bit afraid to do. And I think that throughout my journey, this was the one thing that I'm very proud of, is that I chose a very unique journey. And I didn't let fears and other things, obstacles that typically stop people from doing, fulfilling their dreams, stop me. So I'm pretty happy with what I am. Specific goal for 2022, I don't know. Just continue the journey as it is.
Well said, Ben. When we last spoke, I believe I caught you while you were in Mexico. I understand that you're in Europe now, but you do live in Mexico as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
How was your trip, by the way?
It was long, 26 hours. But I do. My life is separated between currently between Mexico and Hungary and Budapest. Majority of the time I'm in Mexico, but during the holiday season and a few times a year, I take a few weeks in Europe to enjoy life, meet my family. And I think it's a good balance to be able to experience both worlds on a regular basis.
I feel like I'm going to have to like have you back just to talk about like life balance and family and all that there. You seem to have it really dialed in. You have a very homey background too. For anybody that's like looking at the video of this, I had to ask if it was a virtual background. It's like perfect. It's got nice pictures. It has the books, which I look forward to asking you my book question at the end. In today's episode though, we're going to discuss sourcing in Mexico, specifically for Amazon private label sellers or brands. Even more importantly than that is how to do it profitably. And absent what I'm going to call like an Alibaba type site that allows people to sort of shop a la carte. I feel like a lot of Amazon sellers over the years, or sometimes they've been selling less than 10 years, are 100% reliant on something like that. And maybe some stuff that holds people back from looking at other countries is that is absent, that Alibaba like that site. You're the expert here. and sourcing from the Americas, North, Central, South America is a top priority of mine moving forward. I was very impressed with your confidence and a lot of what you were saying in our previous chat to make sure that this would be a good fit for the show. Talk to me, why is Mexico a great place to source products from, and how do Mexican manufacturers as a whole stack up against China, who has a decades-long head start?
Sure. So I think that before we get into that question, I think it's very important to recognize the change in the manufacturing world. So if up until 10, 15 years ago, China would be the sole country that you can basically manufacture everything, things have changed. For many reasons, geopolitical reasons, trade wars, Corona recently, but we don't see China anymore as the sole country that is doing manufacturing. And because of that, we see other countries rising up and becoming manufacturing leaders. But there is no new China. So Mexico is definitely not going to replace China, and no other country can actually do this kind of replacement. But each country today that is participating in the manufacturing game has its specialties and the area where they are considered the expert. Why Mexico? Mexico, I think, for the North American market is a very important manufacturing source. The reason being is A, the proximity to the U.S. So especially today, with what we've seen in the last couple of years with Corona, and before that with the trade wars that we have seen, it is very difficult to move merchandise between countries. Having a country that is on the southern border of the U.S. makes it much, much easier. So today, to move from any place in Mexico to the U.S., it's a couple of days, 2-3 days. It's on the border, and a few more days, it's already in the fulfillment center. So that's a big, big plus. The second advantage is the fact that it's the same time zone. So you don't have to wait or to send emails in the middle of the night or to give a call to a manufacturer and wait for their responses 24 hours before you realize what's going on. The third one is culturally much easier to communicate with a Mexican manufacturer compared to a Chinese one. I'm sure whoever produced in China can tell you that one of the greatest difficulties is the communication between the manufacturer and the buyer. I think these are the three main issues that really make Mexico a very comfortable area to a very comfortable country to manufacture in. And of course, the last but not least is the price. I mean, Mexico is the cost of operation or the cost of employees in Mexico is roughly 1/3, 1/4 of the price of an employee in the US. So the cost of manufacturing obviously is affected by that. And you can see a real difference between manufacturing in the US versus Mexico. All these reasons makes Mexico very attractive. And of course, if you have a company like Witrec, my company, that can actually overcome all the other obstacles that you have of manufacturing in Mexico, it makes life much easier. The results are much better. And it makes this preference a very favorable one.
I want to touch on the obstacles and what it means to work with your company in a bit. What I noticed in my community is you have a lot of brand owners and would-be brand owners that are attracted to this Amazon private label lifestyle, if you will, and they're product agnostic. They don't have a family business they inherited with this product that everyone's passionate about. It's more like, I'll be passionate about it if it's cash flowing positive for me. That's sort of the mentality there. So as we've begun to explore and sort of flesh out this, which is very time consuming, you know, factories in the United States that we could potentially work with, the process for sellers has almost become a, okay, let's reverse engineer this. This factory can make anything that is of this material type or can do anything liquid. Now, knowing that and knowing that this is a vetted factory, which is extremely important, as you know, now that I know this, I'm going to go back to my tools. I'm going to go back to like Black Box on Helium 10. And I'm going to get all these softwares in the industry and I'm going to reverse engineer this and look for products that fit my criteria, but that also are blank. Like, let's say wood, whatever. And absent something on Alibaba where you can search this, it's like throwing darts in the dark. So what is this something that your company can help with? Not look, here is this factory, contact them, but more of a, here are the material types and products that are very well within Mexican manufacturing wheelhouse. Think here and not there. And this will just help you reverse engineer stuff. Did that make sense? And, sure, and can absolutely. You help with that?
Sure, absolutely. So I think you touched a point where is a very big challenge in the Mexican market. And this is that there is no one source that you can basically get that information. So you really need a deep understanding of the Mexican market and the offerings in the market in order to get to the right manufacturers. So what my company is doing, part of the process, is actually looking for those great manufacturers, vetting them, and making sure that they can bring the quality that the client is expecting. I think that other challenges that we have seen working in Mexico, it has to do a lot with timing. So it's different mentalities, the US and Mexico, China, every place has its own mentality, their own work ethics. And I think what we can bring to the table as a company is actually pushing and understanding the American mentality and the work ethics in the US and what the Americans are expecting as a buyer, and be able to find, first of all, the right manufacturer and push them to the point that they actually deliver to the same, not just quality, but on time and money. And that's a challenge in many, if you do it individually, many times you are getting into a deal and you don't know who you are dealing with. So we are really the foot on the ground. If we need to go to the factory and I have already cases that the manufacturer, we saw that there will be delays. I put one of my guys inside the factory and made sure that the process is done in a timely manner, overlooking the processes in order to make sure that they finish on time. We visit regularly all our manufacturers to check that they understand what needs to be done. And we actually set very clear goals for them. So the expectation is being set right for both sides, both the manufacturer that he needs to understand that this is not manufacturing to Mexico where you can, delayed by 2-3 weeks, there are consequences to that. And we also make sure that the Americans understand that this is not a 2-day process. You know, a lot of people that don't understand manufacturing are coming to me and like, okay, I have a shirt that I want to produce, for example. I need it in 60 days. You still don't have the drawings even. So we are also explaining to them, look, based on our experience, you need to take into consideration that there is a whole process, and we explain to them the process from A to Z, and making sure that they understand that from timeline point of view, they don't have expectation that are unrealistic. So that's where we stand. So we are not over-promising, and we are making sure that once we agreed on certain terms, according to what we understand is the process, we make sure that all sides are understanding it, and the manufacturer is will be responsible to achieve it.
And what about, like, I call them material type factories. So I have at least 15 or 20 people in my community. They've been looking for somebody like you and your company. They're ready to work with you now. They do not. Sure. They have several brands. They're looking to start new brands. So this isn't somebody that has like $150 and wants to launch a brand. Like, this is somebody who's got the resources to do this. And they're just fed up, whatever the reasons, they're fed up with working with China and Vietnam. They feel like they see the writing on the wall and they want to work with you. However, they're product agnostic. So if they wanted to get a previous podcast I did that really helped is we visited a factory in Boston, Massachusetts called Tropical Products. They do anything liquid. So now there's a whole bunch of people in my community sourcing liquid products, and some of them are making some really good inroads. In this case, it would be what is a factory like that you know of that I can just tell people in my community or listeners to this could say, okay, Omer knows a factory that can do anything, pretty much anything blank. I'm going to start sourcing right now and I'm going to contact him at the end of the episode. Not your entire list, but like what would be one or two that you could say right now? Like, I know this factory, I'm confident they can make anything that's blank.
We have a glass factory, for example, that does any kind of glass work, from jars to bottles to glasses, wine, anything. We have a company that does box packaging, high-end packaging. Anywhere from boxes to game cards to through. I just produced a jewelry box for a client. So woodwork.
What about like jewelry boxes? Like, do you have a factory that could do anything wood? And you're like, this person could do a jewelry box. This person could do a humidor. They could do a bird box. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a bird feeder. Like, they can do that.
We have a very good suppliers for that. As I said, we produced, we just finished production of 91,000 units of game box cards. So the box was a carton box that was prepared for that. We had the jewelry box that was prepared. So we have very good producer for that. We have a producer for paper, all printing. Producers for apparel, any apparel that you can think of, we can produce. Bags, camping bags, anything like that can be produced.
Can I put you on the hot seat? Like, can I like just come up with a product idea? Like, say this was like an onboarding call, and I had the whole, you know, I got the lucky card, and I got to work directly with you. And I'm just letting you know now, I have cigar boxes. Let's just say, for an example, like, I have cigar boxes. I'm tired of these bulky boxes that I'm dealing with in China, but my cigar boxes have a glass top and they have a digital, you're familiar with what a humidor looks like, and they have a digital hygrometer in the front, or maybe an analog hygrometer. And there's a few little dividers and stuff that are going to go in the inside. There's also an instruction manual that's involved in this. There's a little gold-plated key-looking thing that's going to open your humidor. It's a lot of different components there.
It sounds like a real product, but it's definitely something that can be done. So we have done electronics, we have done boxing, we have done glass. So with this project that are a bit more complex, you'll need to put together a few factories and create an assembly line. So we are very familiar with that. Of course, once a client approaches us, we do some kind of market research, because not all glass manufacturers are specializing in everything. So we have, of course, a Rolodex of a few manufacturing, let's say, just in the glass. So we are putting in front of the right ones the project. This is the part that I want you to do from this project. And then, according to how logic it is, we are approaching other manufacturing and eventually deciding where the assembly line will happen, whether it's in one of the manufacturer, or we have our own assembly line that we will put together in order to put the product together. So again, we have done electronics as well. So we are very familiar with working with the plastic injection and putting together an assembly line and the chips that are being inserted into it. Anything to do with the instructions or booklet or something like that, it's very easy to make it in Mexico. There are plenty of really good printing houses. And the prices, I know for a fact, are at least 40% lower than the US. So
for the instruction manual portion.
Yeah, I'm talking about paperwork.
What, and obviously I'm not holding you to this, but what you're, based on your experience using that humidor example, and I felt like that's a difficult one, but using that example, where do you feel you would be, your Rolodex would be competitive, price competitive with China on something like that?
So I think that now that you, when you look at what's going on from in China, so sending a 40-foot container now from China is roughly around 20K. The tariffs are the tariffs. All of it is not even a factor in producing in Mexico. I think that today the prices are pretty comparable. I need to indicate that the main difference between China and in terms of manufacturing and Mexico is that the Chinese, from my experience, they have a catalog. You have, I don't know, 1,000 different products. You choose from it and they produce 1 million out of it. And that's why the price is so low. In Mexico, it's for entrepreneurs that are looking for more custom-made products. So if somebody doesn't want to take off the shelf a product, Mexico is the place for him. If he wants, I don't know, a t-shirt, that the black t-shirt that has nothing special in it, most probably China would be, when they produce 10 million of those, then it would cost you $1.50, $2 to purchase it. You cannot really compare it to Mexico. But if he wants to do in this t-shirt any kind of design that is more than just a print, for example, then definitely this is where Mexico's advantage come into play. What kind of materials do they use? And for, of course, when we go to much more complex product like what you have mentioned, that is not an off-the-shelf product, this is where Mexico's advantage is definitely higher, because you're not, obviously China wouldn't produce 1 million of those for you. You will need to find somebody that is willing to do this customized work. And in China, their specialty is more the mass production. So I'm almost sure that when you compare prices of this type of products, you cannot compete with Mexico. Mexico will be more cost effective, much faster to market. And from bureaucratic point of view, it will be much, much easier. So sending the product to the US is super easy.
Can I give you one more like hot seat product that we could sort of toss around? And I'm picking stuff that I think is complicated. By the way, glass products, I love them. I've made a killing on them. I'm definitely going to be reaching out to you about glass products. I love the fact that the molds are very affordable. I could do a lot of good stuff. There's some nice price points and margins on like these good whiskey glasses and stuff like that that can be made.
And there is artisan work in Mexico. So amazing work of glass. So I definitely, if you love this field and you think there is a
potential, I love it. So
there is an amazing market for it here.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm definitely going to be reaching out. Let's say a board game. You're familiar with Monopoly, right?
Sure.
So like, I feel like everybody is. So Monopoly has, you know, a board, they have the paper money, they have the instruction manual, the box, and then you have those little hotels, little plastic hotels, and those little game pieces that you move around. A project like that, is that a good fit for Mexico? Is that something that someone can just go to you and be like, hey, look, I got this, but I'm going to spend years trying to find someone that can make all these different pieces here. So what would it look like to engage with you to work on that?
Actually, this is very easy for us. Maybe I can reach out and show you. Sorry to leave the table, but this is a game card that we actually produced in Mexico. I mean, to move from this to Monopoly is very easy. The only part that is an additional is actually the plastic injection that we'll need to do, which is also very simple. This is just creating a mold for a plastic injection, and you have all the moving parts. You have the box manufacturer, the card manufacturer.
And what you showed me was more like a really nice packaging with a deck of cards inside. Yeah.
Yes. But again, the move from that to Monopoly is pretty straightforward. Again, the only part that is not existing in this game that needs some changes is the plastic injection, and that's it. It's very simple.
That's pretty amazing. What would it look like though to moving away now that like you've convinced me now that you're Rolodex and you know where to go with it, like moving more towards now, you're going to have a whole bunch of people listening to this that are like, I'm going to go conquer Mexico on my own. Right. I'm just going to go Google, you know, Mexican factories. I'm going to like try to find trade shows over there. And then you're going to have other ones that have done this before in other countries. And they're like, no, I'm not going to spin my wheels for a year. I'm not going to like lose money dealing with bad actors. And they're just going to reach out to you. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
What does working with you look like? Would I have been able to send you and mail you like a humidor or a board game that I have in mind of my competitors? Do I got to pay you up front to discuss my project? How does payment work? How do you help? Talk to me about that.
Okay. So just for your first point, I welcome everybody to come and try. I wish it would be that easy, but if I'm making business out of it, it's probably not that easy to do it by yourself. And there are many reasons for that. I think that for the American entrepreneur, it doesn't make sense. You need to have a deep know-how of the market in order to reach that level of expertise and to find the price point where it makes sense, the reliable manufacturer, the quality that you're looking for. We have learned a lot by losing a lot of money by making mistakes. So what we have done over the past few years is actually studying and learning the market with locals. So it wasn't even foreigners that actually did all the vetting and production and reproduction. So I really don't recommend it to do it by yourself, but you know, everybody can make his own decision and his own mistakes. Sometimes some people are stubborn and wants to learn the hard way. Regarding your question of how we work. So I never charge anything before I create value. What does it mean? It means that as long as the client is not convinced that we brought to the table the best solution for him, he doesn't pay. And even when he pays as part of the product. So I give the client the end price of the product. And if it's good for him, that's it. There are no hidden fees. I take my percentage from the price of the product. And if the price works for the client, then this is all he needs to know. There is product development. We usually, if the client comes ready, then we don't charge anything for that. If there needs to be product development made in Mexico, so for example, if somebody has just the idea, then of course we have to hire graphic designers, industrial designers. So we put those people in front of the client with their price, and if he wants, he can take them. And if he wants to do it back in the US, you can do it. My suggestion is always work with the locals in Mexico, because the prices, again, as I said, is one third of the price of what you will do in the US. So in any case, product development would be much, much more cost effective doing it in Mexico. And there are great talented there. As I told you in my first conversation, I live in Guadalajara, which is the second biggest city in Mexico, and it's considered the Silicon Valley of Mexico. A lot of talents, engineers, industrial designers, graphic designers, a lot of brain there. So, and the prices are very, very reasonable. So I really, when a client has these needs, we definitely jump in and help them.
I love it. And the way you pronounce Guadalajara, do you speak Spanish, or are you...
after.
Are you Mexican or did you?
No, I'm not. I'm an Israeli, but as you can tell, I've been living in many places in the world, and I studied Spanish in order to be able to communicate there.
Pero se habla español.
Sí, poquito.
Okay. No, we have a sister podcast, which is Wizards of Ecom in Español. I'm going to have to like connect you over there.
Okay.
And see if we can get you on that show as well. That's awesome. So I love Israel, by the way. I'm not sure. I guess you've been as well. A beautiful, beautiful country.
I lived there all my life until the age of 22.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are living in Israel as well. So when you say that you charge based on the value, and so let's say in the Monopoly game board case, the person goes to you and like you've convinced them that you found everyone that can make this, and this is what it would cost per unit, and that person agrees to it. Your percentage is of that amount up front, or it's as payments need to be made to the factory, you're getting a percentage off of that as it goes.
Exactly. I don't exclude myself from the manufacturer. So according to the payment terms that we have decided on, this is where I take my share out of it. So the reason being is I want to make sure that the value is not just being added at the beginning. I part of our value that we bring to the client is not just by finding them the manufacturer. We actually project management the whole process. So we are there throughout the process, including shipping it to the US, customs, quality control during the process. So the client is talking to me. I am his arm in Mexico. If the manufacturer is making mistakes, we are there to make sure that they correct them. If they don't work in a timely manner and there are delays that are unrelated to reality, so if this is just an excuse, then we are there to push them and to put the right penalties when they are delaying the delivery. So with that, we are also expecting to get, when the client is paying to the manufacturer, we are being paid. So not before. We don't let the client basically after we make the connection, stay alone in the front with the manufacturer. So the responsibility ends when I deliver everything with the highest quality in the United States.
Getting me more and more excited. I don't know if you're really good at sales or what, but I'm getting like more and more excited. I'm more, like my mind is here on the podcast and part of it's already like writing an email to you so that like we could start something. But what about... So far we've talked about new projects that somebody wants to start. What about somebody that's, you know, having success with their factory currently in China? You know, there's probably some loyalty there that someone's, you know, worked with somebody for so long, and that's a good thing.
Sure.
But it's becoming, I know we have to think about like the very real, you know, container, short, you know, backlog into getting stuff through customs, and we have to deal with the 25% tariffs from China. I feel like I have to assume, thinking positive though, that in 2 years, let's just put a name out there, in 2 years, things will be better, right? There's still going to be issues, but things will be better. So if the person doesn't want to make any drastic decisions, what would be a good way though to at least explore? It's healthy to have a backup plan. What would be a good way for someone that's currently sourcing from China to explore whether their product would be a good fit with you without feeling like they're wasting your time? Like they just want to explore this, but there's a chance they may stick with their factory.
Sure. And then, you know, if you're happy with where you are, it's great. I am not, I think that the people that are coming to me that are already manufacturing, they were disappointed from something within this process. So, but I think that it's always smart to diversify your risks. So instead of just hoping that China will get better in 2 years, which I, quite frankly, I'm not sharing the same belief. I think that the trend that we are seeing is not because of Corona. So Corona is only an emphasis of something that we have seen in the last 10 years. It's just you know, the world is closed and now we were seeing it big time. But the tariff war was there before. Donald Trump started it. Biden will never change it. And I don't see any administration now going back on what Trump was doing, because it's working against them. You know, for the U.S. right now, China is the big enemy, and I don't see them getting back to the old times. You know? And I mean, China is becoming richer, which means that people are getting paid much higher salaries. So the cost of manufacturing goes up. So this is not going back. But even if you are happy, I think that diversifying your risk is a smart move. I think that if you don't want to do all the production in China, do part of it in Mexico, feel the water, see if it works for you, if the quality works for you, if the prices, if the time, and then make a decision. You know, I have, by the way, I have clients that are producing in two places. One of the manufacturers is us in Mexico, and the other in other places. In the US, I have a manufacturer that is producing 50% of their product in the US and 50% with us. Ask me why? Because he's still trying to figure out what are the advantages of Mexico, but slowly he's moving all the production to us. But he at the beginning, he didn't want to take the risk. You know, he didn't know, as you say, what he's getting in Mexico. And I understand this fear. And I know that after the batch that we have sent in, the last batch, it's a game changer for him. It was cheaper. It was faster. The quality was at least as good, if not better, than what he produced in the US, not in China.
You're speaking my language.
So I think there are a lot of advantages there. And I think that everybody wants to test the water. It's perfectly fine. And I welcome it. You know, I'm not afraid of the challenge.
I love it. Music to my ears. I want to ask you one more thing, and I want to be respectful of your time. My questions would never end here. I think the rest of the questions that I have would be more like personal. And I would speak to you about off recording, but what would be, or is there like one or two myths that you constantly hear and maybe frustrate you that people sort of say when it comes to sourcing from Mexico?
I think there is a lot of misconception about Mexico. You know, what comes into the mind of the average American? The gardener, the cartel. You know, that this is what Americans put in boxes. Everybody that is outside of America, in many
crooked, crooked and inferior quality stuff. That's the stereotype.
And I think that when you actually live in a place and you actually see the diversity of it, you understand that there is never black and white. So I think that those two concepts brings a lot of uncertainty and fear in producing in Mexico. Once you start producing in Mexico and you see the high level of people that are working there, you understand that it's a country like every country, and every country has their own problem. And as we see crime in the US, there is also crime in Mexico. And you know, this is part of the reality in every place. I know that now I had, just before I came to Europe, I had a few clients coming from the US that came to meet the manufacturers and to have a conversation with me about the future. And they were totally shocked with what we showed them. You know, they didn't even realize that this is Mexico. They knew Tulum, they knew the beach areas, and they knew what they hear in the news. But, you know, in the American news, they always, like in other news, you know, they always show just the bad stuff that are happening and never talk about the actual opportunities that are in each country. And I think Mexico is an amazing, amazing country with tons of opportunity. And I really encourage whoever is wanting to come and work and manufacture in Mexico. I always invite my clients to come and see and start the journey with an amazing meal and tequila, and then discuss how the business is going to be.
I love it. I'm imagining myself on a plane already. And what you said is spot on. Like, not bad talking to media, but like how we sort of live in this silo, and the information we get really paints a picture of where what somebody or some countries like. I remember this vividly when I first went to Israel many years ago, and like I was kind of nervous. I was nervous getting like landing there for the first time, getting off the plane, and I was just like the soldiers and the tanks, and like I was imagining like military everywhere, and like if someone's wearing something, it must be a bomb, and I was just freaking out. And I got out, and I did not see any military, and everything was beautiful. And everybody was like me. It was like entrepreneurial and startups. And it was just like, it was wow. It was shocking. So I could totally see what you mean about the way, you know, the brush that's used to paint Mexico in the US, and how you have on the ground experience of it being different. What would be the best way for somebody listening to this, or that I could refer to somebody in my community to reach out and work with you?
Sure. The best way is by email. My email is Omer, O-M-E-R, at WITREK, which is WITREK.com. So Omer at WITREK.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll put one of my team to start working on the project. And of course, we will set a time to discover and then to talk about the project, and from there we'll explain all the steps that we need to take in order to move forward with the project.
That's great. Yeah, I have zero doubt you're going to get a lot of people reaching out to you on this. And when we resume our in-person classes on January 8th, this is going to be very top of mind for me. After this, I'm going to jump in our chats, and I'm going to share your email. So you may even get something from someone who's not listened to the episode yet, that's already engaging with you to work with you. Omer, before letting you go, I know it's late where you are. Nice. Before letting you go, the question I ask everyone who's on the show is, what is your favorite book and why?
I'll actually show it. It's in Hebrew, but okay. It's called...
So I can't order it. Okay.
No,
so
like, but it's an American book. It's called Roots, okay, by Alex Haley.
Yes. Oh my God. I know this book.
This is... I have two books that I simply admire. Roots is one of them, and the other one is 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia. These are... the reason I love it is because I love history very much, and I love... the stories on both of them that really opened a new world for me. I didn't know. I knew about slavery. When Roots is about slavery, I knew about slavery from what I learned in class. But until you actually read this masterpiece, which was life-changing for me, you didn't realize the atrocities and the crazy deeds that were done for the Black community in the US. So for me, it was really a rattling experience to read this book. So this is one. And again, another masterpiece is 100 Years of Solitude, which tells a story of a family in South America, in a imaginary town, which is also part of the learning history through literature, which is amazing for me.
I love it. Roots is definitely a masterpiece. I have it on the shelf behind me. It's I've read it several times. It's absolutely amazing. Definitely an eye opener, and helps me, especially nowadays, see things a little better when it's being talked about, like less biased.
Yeah, sure.
And 100 Years of Solitude, I have not read. I'm going to look that one up. I'm definitely going to read it. I appreciate the recommendation.
I still remember when I read it. I finished the book, and I looked at one of my friends, and I told him, "Yeah, I was in a trip in India. Never mind." And I told him I just finished a masterpiece, and it was very sad for me to finish it.
I know exactly what you mean, being sad about finishing a great book. So I'm excited to order it and read it, and I will follow up with you and let you know what I thought about it as well. Omer, you crushed it. You went beyond expectations on this show. I'm excited. These are the types of conversations that made me want to start a podcast to begin with. So thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get back to your family. I'll be following up with you on this one. enjoy the holidays.
Thank you very much.
Same to you. I look forward to working with you soon. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you and have a good day. Bye-bye.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.